And tonight it is my pleasure to introduce Elvis. Take it away.
Thanks, Paulette. Some of you already know me, some of you who don't. My name is Elvis. Identify as an addicted bipedal Terran meat popsicle. I like to think myself as Terran because we are all the same. And I'm all about knocking down barriers. I am, 7 years today. Hang on. 7 years today. Never thought that would happen. But then I never thought 6 years would happen. I never thought 5 years. By the way, I'm Australian, so you'll hear a lot of colourful language from me. We use it like you guys use punctuation. We use profanity. So I never thought I'd make 1 year, 6 months, sort of thing. But then a lot of that was because I never really thought I had a problem. It was only because my partner asked me to come along to the fellowship. Obviously, she saw something in me that I didn't. She asked me three times. First time I said, "No, you're fucking crazy. There's nothing wrong with me." Second time I said, "No, you're still fucking crazy. There's really nothing wrong with me." And the third time was, well, hang on, if she keeps asking me, obviously she cares about me, so she must see something that I don't. So I'll go along to entertain her. Went along to my first meeting, a little community centre in Frankston, in Victoria, in the city of Melbourne, suburb there. And I think the third speaker started telling their story, and that's when at the moment it just resonated with me. It was, hey, this is my story. Why are you sharing my story? What's going on here? And I mean, down to the fact, the only thing that was different was I'd been using for a lot longer. And I thought living the Cheech and Chong lifestyle was perfectly sustainable. I wasn't hurting anyone. I wasn't doing anything. And I mean, well, we all make you not see it when you're in it. And so the light bulb moment comes off my head. Fuck, I am an addict. Do I want to do something about it, or do I want to continue where I am? I want to do something about it. But as I'm sitting there looking around the walls and the posters, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, all that were posted on there, and as I'm reading them, there's that three-letter ugly word that I'm not a fan of popping up everywhere, and I'm thinking, what the fuck? What weird cult have you brought me along to? And then my second meeting, first time I shared, and I sort of got up and started to share, and I started it with, I'm an atheist. And you know how that went down? Went down like a lead balloon in a room of believers and all this sort of stuff, all people sort of thing. And I thought you weren't supposed to cross here, but I did hear sort of whispers and looks and points sort of thing. But for the first 6 months, I basically turned it into me giving a physics lecture, explaining how I was linking the theory of quantum physics, meta-universes, all with my recovery process, all stressing that you know, I am an atheist. And then discovering there is atheist meetings. Let's go and check this one out. And it was the Friday night, the Beyond Belief one, that we went into the city and checked it out. And finally, that was the first time that I felt like I'm at home, I belong here. This is a group of similar thinking people that are on the same journey that I want to be on, that are showing that it's clean. And fuck, there's people in here that have been clean for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Cannot remember if Ken was there that first night I went there, but another person that we all some of us have met, Anthony, was there. And that was the first night I met Anthony, and I spent a good hour and a half afterwards just talking to him because he's that sort of guy. And that gave me a much clearer understanding of how I and my belief system could exist in this community. This community is a better word. And so once I understood that, I went back to the little town of Frankston, started up an atheist meeting on Tuesday night. We got a few people in, started building, and then going to that, and started going to them sort of pretty much exclusively. And then, bang, the COVID thing hit. We were all locked down, can't go anywhere. Although I do have to say, for all cards on the tables, I was considered a government worker, and whatever the term was. So I was allowed to travel. So that was, ooh, sort of thing. And it's weird traveling through like a city of 4 million people when everyone's at home, there's nothing there. It's like, it was like in a dystopian sci-fi sort of environment. You know, the nature's everywhere, but there's no people. It was weird. But that's a side take entirely. But being that NA, and as humans, we can adapt quickly. NA quickly adapted to the online sort of thing and start of what we have here today. And I found a lot of other atheists. I found the Seattle Tuesday of your Monday meeting, found a couple on and started going and started building a relationship with similar thinkers all around the world, and found out that I'm not alone in this. I'm not unique. Well, look at me. I can't be. Some people do say I am. So, but in this sort of recovery thing, I'm not unique. And there is people that have very, very similar mindsets that are doing the same sort of thing. That we want to get clean, but we don't want to deal with that imaginary sky fairy sort of stuff. And I know that can be offensive. I'm sorry if anyone takes offence to me saying it, but that's what we're about. But then, sort of, you know, we went through that, and progress kept marching on, and years kept clocking up. You know, to my surprise, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year. I do get joy once a year being able to find something that symbolises. So very, very soon you'll see on Facebook, anyone who's got me on Facebook, you'll see a picture of 7 of 9 just with "if you know, you know," and you'll know why. Seven. Last year it was number 6. And if anyone knows who number 6 is, you've gone up in I figured you would, Eric. Anyone here, I figured you would be the one to do it. Yeah, so last year I was number 6, this year I'm number 7. And then sort of life was going along swimmingly. I got a wonderful job that I absolutely love. I get paid to play with toys. I work in IT. I have computers with the toys. So somehow I managed to make people give me money for playing with that. I work for the government. I'm a public servant. And that is another big step in my recovery, because at work I can be open. I can be truly open about going through this. I'm a member of it. I don't hide it. And that's been rewarding in other ways, because there's been three staff members who've come up to me to ask about the recovery, because they've known someone, or one person in particular, it was themselves. And so being able to share my process of my recovery and share that these things exist, and share that atheist versions of these things exist. And I know one person, one out of that three, is a member today and still is carrying on. So they've been 3.5 years. So I do take some sort of little pride in that, knowing that I was able to help someone in the journey that I'm on, and follow and be able to follow it. And for the first five and a half years, my life was great. Like, everything was going smoothly. Everything was sort of, I didn't, you know, get a brand new house, new car or anything like that, but I had I consider myself wealthy. And the reason I consider myself wealthy is I've got a roof over my head. I've got food in my fridge. I've got air conditioning when it gets hot. I've got heating when it gets cold. I've got running water. I've got a toilet, for fuck's sake, right? So many people in the world don't have that. But the fact that the part of my recovery is that I can appreciate those things and take, say, solace, but not even that, just take comfort in the fact of how lucky I am. I do understand that I was born, I've been born into a country that I get free health, which come up with it and become relevant later. I get pretty much magnificent weather. For the most part, lovely people. We are far too obsessed with sport and drinking, but that's one of the things about being Australian. But the free health things, so everything was going swimmingly for sort of five years. And then for whatever reason, well, it's because I got asked to, because Ronnie moved up here, so I can't be. I moved from Melbourne, which is a city of 4.5 million people, where I've lived for most of my life. I've always been a city boy. I've always been happy in the midst of concrete, in the midst of people. But last year I moved up to this wonderful little country town of 11,000 people, where I suddenly went from being a very, very small fish in a very, very big ocean to being the talk of the town. I'm in a country town where nobody dresses like this. Nobody is into colour. There is an Ararat residents Facebook page. There has not been a week goes by in the last year and a half where someone has not taken a photo of me, posted it up there, and go, "Hey, if you check this dude out wandering around the sort of thing." I take it as they're fascinated with it and they're happy, and I take it as a good thing. I don't take it as a, I mean, one of the things that I've learned in recovery is not to give a fuck about what other people think of me. The only person I need to impress, the only person I need to compete with, the only person I need to impress is me. And if I'm doing that, then my life's good. If you like me and we get along well, cool. If you don't like me and you're pissed off with me, well, that's your problem, not mine. So I don't need to deal with that. So I'm up here now, and at first thought, thinking that this is going to be a nightmare, I'm going to hate the place, but I actually love it. I found that I've really sort of sunk into the country life. Absolutely adore it. And then this year, the universe has a sense of humour. So it's decided to give me a challenging year this year, and mainly all self-induced stuff. My exuberant lifestyle catching up with me. So developed gout. Right? Do not recommend. If you can avoid it, please avoid it. I've done some painful, stupid stuff to myself before, but this is probably the worst I've had, I reckon. Between that and broken ribs is a close tie. What that is. Then. In the process of going to find out what that is all about at the doctors, and as a side note, I think I funded a new wing here at the hospital. Although we do have universal health care here, there's some stuff that's not covered. And I found out that it's all the heart tests and all the expensive stuff that's not covered. So, but in the process of getting diagnosed and finding out what the gout was, suddenly, hey, congratulations, obviously you're not having enough drama with the gout, so you've got diabetes type 2. Oh, yeah, fantastic. Thank you very much. So what does that mean? So they give me this list of this is what causes it, this is what you can't eat anymore, and pretty much everything on it, that's my entire diet, right? That has been for the last 58 years. So in the last 3 months, right, I've had to stop eating everything I like, go to eat the food that I would normally feed to my food is now my food. Tons of salad and all this sort of shit. I now have to take that many pills a day that I rattle. They wanted to prescribe serious opiate painkillers for dealing with the pain of gout. I neglected on that because that was one of my that is one of my triggers. I know that I would have trouble with that. They have prescribed me CBD oil for pain management and for sleeping. CBD, those of you who don't know, is a derivative of cannabis. So when they first told me about that, because pot was my drug of choice, my weed was my drug of choice. So when they first started, should have provided this with chronic pain and sleep. My thought was, fuck, is this going to send me back down that path again, right? Am I going to become addicted to it again? No longer, but it's not the psychoactive component. It's just the CBD, so it doesn't do that mind altering. Oh, the other thing I did this year, after 42 years of it, was give up smoking and vaping completely. So that's been 6 months now. 6 months since I had the vape. Fuck, that was hard, right? That was hard. I thought giving up drugs was going to be the hardest thing I've ever done in terms of changing me, right? Sort of thing. Oh no. Smoking, that's a fucking vicious one. Mostly the cravings have gone now, mostly, and that's after 6 months. But there are still times when there is no time in my mind now after a year and a half did I entertain the idea of smoking weed or taking pills or dropping psychedelics again. I'm over that, right? Happy. That part of my life is switched off. The brain doesn't even sort of trigger that. Yeah, I mean, look at me. I'm still very much... That's not switched on behind me, but those who know, I'm very much still into psychedelic side of things, definitely. But I don't need to take the mind-altering stuff to appreciate the all the cuffs, say the colours and the back. But cigarettes, nicotine, that was, yeah, that is absolutely vicious. Anyone else who's done that, I was going through that, seriously, that my heart, absolutely 100% compared with. And then changing diet, right? I'm a 130-kilo boy. Is that 230-odd pounds? So obviously, I like food, right? And I like it a lot. But I can't eat it anymore. I can't eat bread anymore. I can't eat any of this shit anymore because it was, if anything, I figured if anything was going to drive me back to fucking my mind up again, that would be it. But what recovery has given me is a desire to live, a desire to live a life that I can remember, that I can enjoy, that I can continue growing in. And I do. So I've now managed to change my diet. In 2 months, I've dropped 6.5 kilos. Yeah, 6.5 kilos. Still a long way to go, but the fact that I've done that shows me that I can. I've started exercising. Admittedly, the exercise I do is I got another toy this year, and this toy now has become, I'm seriously worried about it being in terms of addiction now. So I got a VR headset. There's all sorts of exercise games you can get there. There's two in particular that I play. One, I suppose I should say, there are also other games you can get, so this is not an endorsement of any particular game, but called Pistol Whip and Beat Saber. I call them both John Wick simulators. So I'm jumping around in the living room like sort of John Wick, dodging bullets and shooting people. Get hot and sweaty with it, but it's exercise and it's got to be moving. And I can actually feel better. I can walk longer. That combined the non-smoking and the exercise, suddenly I can feel my heart rate getting better, my breathing getting better. Fuck, I used to get out of breath taking my watch off, sort of stuff. Now I can walk 4 miles happily, no dramas at all, no out of breath, nothing, like at a reasonable pace. I can go up and down stairs, I can do all sorts of stuff, and I'm breathing fine. I'm struggling to get the recommended, 10,000 steps in a day, but I'm doing exercise still, and I'm working with my, what are they called? Physical therapist. There's some long fancy names, sort of thing. But again, the beauties of being in a country with universal healthcare, that's all paid for, sort of stuff. Finally, years of paying taxes coming back. But the whole recovery process is what gives me the tools to be able to drive forward and be able to, I was going to say deal, but it's not even deal with it, and it's not even accept it. It's gives me the ability to utilize my will to change what I'm eating, change what I'm thinking, change what I'm smoking, or change what I'm trying not to. There was something in that first reading that about the will, the reason not to I choose now to not use. I choose now to enjoy my life. I choose now to be happy in my life. I choose now to project that to all around me, to the point where my boss calls me, "You're fucking relentlessly cheerful, aren't you?" I'd rather be called that than a miserable prick. I will wind up now because I can start to feel my voice starting to go. That's one of the drawbacks. I can only speak for 20 minutes or so now. But that's where I am. That's where I'm going. And it's all thanks to every single one of you in front of me here, as well as many, many others around the world that I've met. That I am not the best friend in the world. I struggle to reach out at times. But if you don't hear from me, it doesn't mean I don't like you. It just means I'm fucking lazy and sitting on the couch. I love each and every one of you because of what you have done for me and what you continue to do for me. And same with this fellowship. Well, the atheist side of this fellowship. I'm not particularly fond of some of the other bullshit that goes on, the other sort of stuff, but that's a conversation for another day. Thank you for asking me to share. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of my life. And I wish every single one of us another safe and happy 24.